Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fifth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops show here on your WNIN 88.3 and live streaming on WNIN.org. You can give us a call tonight as our phone lines are open at 812-426-7400, or you can tweet us on Twitter at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the greatest program in college basketball history, the Kentucky Wildcats. And joining me again tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Evan, Walker.
What's up?
Maria, Mr. Berger, the Mr. greatest. That was a big adjective you threw on there, and
the
you
greatest.
Made sure to hammer it. Yeah.
The greatest. The winningest program in college basketball history.
That's
Kentucky
right.
The Wildcats.
Congrats on that. Well, what is tonight's?
This is
session 10th. Two.
This is show two. Season five. Since Maria again will not allow us to call the show in December, show one.
There's a I mean, do we want to just change it? Like,
no.
I can go back.
Yes. We're here to make you happy, Maria.
That's, and we're in studio five too. We just figured that out. Actually,
to our listeners that can't see what we're doing, last year we were incorrectly stating that we were airing the show from studio two, WNIN. I walk in here tonight and there's a sign on the wall that says Studio 5.
Which Walkman says it's been here all
the whole show,
yeah,
the whole season.
I haven't noticed it.
Fake
Chad
news.
Hasn't noticed it, and Chad faces it. So we're coming to you live tonight from Studio 5, Cinco, at WNIN. Again, you can call us at 812-426-7400 or tweet us.
At Red Blue Hoops. Let's get some tweets in tonight, too. Get
yeah,
some activity
we had no
going on that.
Twitter traffic last week.
Which
Walker.
The Hoosiers were on. So that makes it
yeah,
a little bit tough.
Yeah, that made a difference. The Hoosiers were on last week.
No game tonight, so we're expecting a big show of tweets and calls.
And again, for some of our newer listeners that don't know the breakdown here, again, Chad's the voice for the Hoosiers. I'm Evan, your voice for the Wildcats. And Walker Beck is our intern who filled in midway through the first season and has stuck on somehow ever since. But
he's crushing it.
This will be his last year as the intern because he
– two shows next year.
Oh, during the Christmas break, because you'll be attending Murray State.
Murray State.
Awesome.
That's awesome. So we're going to get Gotsy or what? We have to talk about that. I don't know about Jim.
His contract negotiations could be too expensive for us to afford down here.
Uh-huh. I believe that.
All right, folks. So since last week, it's been an up and down, result for both Indiana and Kentucky.
That's right.
Kentucky went on the road over the weekend and lost at Alabama. By two. And the first half, Chad, this kid by the name of Tevin Mack, I'd never heard of this kid before, for Alabama, who is, for the season, shooting 29% from three.
Yeah, I saw this.
Comes out in the first half and is 6 out of 6 from the three-point line. That's kind of like the stuff you did in high school for Modern Day,
that's
right?
That's exactly right. Was it done in like 40 seconds,
It
though?
Was not.
Okay.
So why do you think it is so common for one Kentucky opponent's player get hot against Kentucky this season? What do you think the factor is there? Now, KenPom came out with an article about it saying it's random. You can't really pinpoint it. But for Kentucky fans, it's now happened 6 times this season where a player has gotten red hot against us.
Well,
you think
defensively, I mean, but the second thing and the more important thing is everyone's always up for Kentucky.
Yeah.
So you're going to –
that's
in a lot of times in games like that, that when teams are up for Kentucky, a random guy steps up too.
And yes.
You get – I mean, you guys have had it happen, but I've seen that with Indiana in our heyday too.
It's just weird. It's getting a little frustrating for us because in the second half he was 0 for 2. And then, of course, the follow-up game for Alabama, they go on the road at LSU and the guy couldn't hit the side of a barn.
0 for 4.
He was 0 for 4, so whatever. But an interesting observation that Coach Cal Perry made in our loss to Alabama – on the road, we had 55 fewer passes than we did in our win against Louisville. 55 fewer.
Oh, my gosh. That's
crazy. It's a lot. So it shows the ball was sticking, right? But again, we were down, what, Walker, 11 or 12 late?
Yeah, about 4 minutes left.
But Kentucky, to their credit, being, again, a young team with young guards, they made a comeback and they had the ball with a chance to win the game or tie the game. They got a good look for Tyler Hero from top of the key, and it looked like it was going in. And it just didn't go in. One thing I noticed in the stats that are telling for me as well, we only had one block shot. We typically have about seven per game. That's also, in my opinion, a hustle data point. And we got out-rebounded by eight.
Which is unlike Calipari.
Very unlike Calipari.
Guys block a lot of shots, rebound.
But, man, it's a tough loss for us because for a multitude of reasons. Number one, it hurts me in my lunch bet with you.
Halfway home for me.
So the Seton Hall and Bama losses are two that I did not anticipate. So you're licking your chops over there in that lunch bet.
I
hate it for seeding. I mean, this is getting to the point where we can't necessarily have any more unexpected losses on our schedule the rest of the year for March Madness seeding.
True. The flip side is Tennessee and Auburn. You guys got some good teams that you could play and win.
Yeah, that'll
help that.
Exactly. That's a good counterpoint to that, no question about it. So that's our first game. I'll wait for A&M later. So tell us what happened in Hoosierville since last week's show.
Yeah, so we played last Thursday during the show, Illinois, 73-65 final. We played well. First half was a little up and down. I think we got down 10. We were watching it here at the show. But in the second half, we played a lot better. It was obvious at halftime that Archie told Romeo, hey, you need to handle the point and really attack the rim. And he did. Scored 10 straight points between the end of the first half and the start of the second half, which basically pushed that lead out to 10, and that's where we played with most of the second half. So he had 28 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Juwan Morgan had 15 and 10, and he continues his strong play as a senior. Smith, Green, and Durham combined for 25 points. That was the other three starters, which is not bad. Two guys had 8 points, and one had 9. So you almost had 5 guys in double figures. Now, with that being said, the bench is a question mark. A lot of injuries, just had 5 points off the bench against Illinois. It was a good conference win. We'll take it. 15 turnovers for the game.
Wow.
But, you know, it sounds like a lot, right?
But that's about your average, right?
It's a little – yeah, it's right about there. But Illinois, if you watch them play, they muck it up.
They do.
And they make you play hard and have to handle the ball. So Archie actually was pretty happy with that 15. But we did force 21 turnovers. So
I watched the second half after the show last week, and that is a hard game to watch. You guys play Illinois every year.
Because I remember last year. We talked about last year.
Yeah, we did
absolutely.
Talk about last year.
So they make you play sloppy, but, you know, Illinois, I think they're like 4-10 or 4-11 now, so they're really struggling.
Hey, we have a tweet.
All right.
Matthew Beck, that is my nephew in Atlanta.
Okay.
That's my older brother's 4th son of 4. Matthew says, why can't Kentucky start fast in SEC games at home? Seems like we go down early in most. Okay, I think what he's talking about the other night, Tuesday night against Texas A&M, Walker and I were attending the Interstate 69 Bridge public hearings at the Old National Bank Events Plaza in downtown Evansville, unable to watch the Kentucky game live. But I have to admit that I did have my phone on Watch ESPN app. After Walker showed me the score, we were down 12-2.
No kidding.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
And we were favored by 15. So Walker flashes his phone. And again, the public hearing is going on, like people talking at the podium. So I turned my phone on and watched the rest of the first half. But back to Matthew's question, that's absolutely the focus of your starting five. They have to be focused. They have to execute and play hard. Energy. There's no reason for Kentucky to come out and go down 12-2 to Texas A&M, ever.
Especially at home. You know,
after losing Alabama,
I use the same way. They're getting off to slow starts. Now, I've also kind of went the other way on that. I blame the players, but I'm also coaching too. Like, why are we have to talk about that stuff? You know, what's going on here?
Right.
What's the game? Do we know the game plan? I mean, what's going on here? So,
but I will say this: after Kentucky's terrible start, the bench players came in, and, man, they lit the place up the other night. So that's kind of cool to see them come
in
and step up. Like,
it's
Nick
huge.
Richards stepped up big. Jamal Baker stepped up big. And I'm leaving someone out, but I know those two kids came in and played.
EJ played well.
Yeah. Yeah, EJ Montgomery. That's right. Those three kids all played well. And I mean, we scored
85 points, 85. Right?
Yeah, and then after the public hearing, we actually jumped over and went to the U of E game.
I was there.
So I have to admit, I have not seen the second half of the A&M game yet. I thought I hit record on the DVR, but it didn't get recorded. So I got a text from one of our regular callers, Johnny Versace.
Oh, yeah.
From German American Bank. He said, "Why are we? What happened to the dribble drive offense? Why are we plodding along?" And I haven't seen the second half, but we still scored 85 points. 46 of those in the first half, though. So we lit it up in the first half after starting terrible.
No kidding.
Whereas Barkley says 12. Terrible.
Terrible. That's
right. We're going to the phone lines?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to the phones. We have our first caller of our show tonight. We have Kim on line one. Kim, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
I love your show. How are you guys doing?
All right. Mom, what's up?
Okay. Rafe Thompson.
Yeah.
Is he going to come back and play? And if he does, is he going to make our bench stronger?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. And from what I hear, he is closer to being coming back to be able to play. Now, for those of you that don't know, he has been out on concussion protocol for approximately, it seems like, 2 months now.
Wow.
But from what I understand, he has been practicing a little bit. He's been doing some cardio. He's a 6'8", 6'9 kid with a long wingspan. And we do need help in the paint, especially defensively and offensively, really, as well. But, yeah, I do expect him to be back here in the next week or two, and hopefully he can bring some production with him. It's a good question.
Okay. Well, can I tell you just a quick joke? It's nothing political, but how cold it was in Washington, D.C. today?
How cold was it?
Kim?
I saw a politician with his hands in his own pockets.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty good.
Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week, guys. Love you.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
appreciate
Kim.
It. Okay. See you, Kim. Mom.
Bye. Okay, we're going to stay on the phone lines. Another regular Red Blue Hoops caller. We're going with Shooter. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops tonight. Shooter, go ahead.
Good evening, Evan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Shooter, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. That's enough talking to you for the night.
Hold on. I got a bone to pick with you.
Yeah.
This is technically our third show. Maria says it's our second show. But you haven't called in yet. What's the deal?
Yeah, he did.
He called in on the first show, didn't he?
I was busy on the second show, Chad.
Hey, Shooter, time out. Hey, Maria, what's the first show called again?
The preview.
Oh, it's the preview. It's okay, your preseason show.
A preseason preview show, even though the season has already started.
Preseason and season.
Okay.
Shooter did call. Okay. It was a quick call.
Preseason and season. I like that, Walker.
Thank you.
So what's the bone
Walker,
here? Go ahead.
All right,
real quick, Walker, we need your help. We got to go Facebook Live on this show.
Facebook Live? Okay. Mr.
Berger,
probably set it up.
We have been getting this request a lot lately about going Facebook Live on the show. Is that a yay or a nay on that Facebook Live?
If you can do that, we have so many more followers because people don't get AM.
I know it would mushroom the popularity.
I was just telling these guys that, Shooter.
Chad and I don't have a – we have a face for radio.
That's correct.
Yeah. So
I can do it. I can do it.
What do you think, Maria?
We'll work on it.
Oh, it's easy to do. You just put a set of phone right there and we're live. It's pretty quick.
Yep, and guaranteed you'll triple or quadruple your followers. Real quick, Evan, I'm going to leave you alone. Kentucky always struggles with A&M. That's a great win for them. Calipari seems to have the A&M thing. But, Chad, real quick, we got a number of injuries here, but, you're looking at the meat of the Big Ten schedule coming in. And I've overheard you say a 25-6 record. Now with the injuries and what we have available, do you – realistically see us finishing in the top half of the Big Ten is the first question I'll give you. And then the second thing is the inside-out recruiting strategy from the greatest coach that we've had in a long time named Archie Miller. Keon Brooks, Trace Jackson Davis coming to Indiana next year. I think that's going to be huge with what we have, with Hunter getting healthy. You talked about Rafe Thompson just a minute ago. But Deron Davis has to get healthy for Indiana to be good moving forward. If we can't play Fennessey's and Davis together, I think it's going to be a really tough Big Ten stretch. I mean, and that's really all I have for you guys tonight. So I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say.
All right. I'll address those real quick. So as far as IU goes and where they're going to finish in the conference, I definitely think they're going to finish in the top half. That 25-6 prediction by myself, I saw the schedule coming in. I was not aware of how strong the Big Ten could be. With that being said, I'm going to stick to it and hope that they get there. Realistically, with the injuries, that's been tough to overcome. So I could see probably a plus or minus two there. So 22-9, 23-8, somewhere in there. But with that being said, as long as we beat Rutgers and Illinois, we will have zero bad losses on our resume. So we're going to have a lot of top 50 wins. So the seeding at 23-8, provided maybe we win a game or two in the Big Ten, we should be fine. So I think we're going to be in good shape there. As far as Archie's inside-out recruiting, you ask about that. Yeah, he's coming up big. Promises made, promises kept with him. That's what he said he was going to do. We have Trace Jackson. I think we're going to get Keon Brooks. And Trendon Watford is still in the mix too. So he's not from Indiana, but that's a great pickup, along with Armon Franklin, who is an Indiana kid. So
Shooter, thanks for the call. Great question. Walker, go ahead.
I was going to say, for IU's standpoint, I think the biggest thing for them, if their bench is still limited,
yep,
is the difference between the 5 seed and the 4 seed
yeah,
in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah,
I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I think you'll have to see that, right? Because right now I think they're 4th, but, you know,
yeah.
I think down the road that would be a big topic.
Well, and I'm going to add to that the difference between, like, if they played well and ultimately could get even to the 3 line in the big dance.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that 4 and 5 seed because you got the 1 seed looming, yeah, in the regional final. Yeah. So even a 6 seed is better than a 4 or 5, in, yeah, my opinion.
Can be.
Can
so.
Be.
To set the table again, I'm Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats. We've got Chad Payton as voice for the Hoosiers. Walker Beck is the intern. And I mentioned a lunch bet earlier in the show, and as we're talking about wins and losses, the bet is if Kentucky loses more than 5 regular season games, I have to take Chad to lunch. And we've also extended that to include our top caller of the season as voted upon by the three of us. So,
oh, it changed. I thought you said I could pick whoever, one of my favorite IU fans.
I don't know. We'll
if you're paying for
that.
It, I'll let,
yeah,
you pick.
Exactly. So, I tell you what we're going to do, folks. Perfect time to go to our first break tonight. Maria, come on back to Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Wealth Advisors. German American Wealth Advisors help accumulate and grow the wealth of individuals, families, and businesses with a mutual relationship based on trust and respect. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3. We are live streaming on WNIN.org. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, joined by Chad Payton, voice of the Indiana Hoosiers. We're going back to the phone lines. Alan and Birdseye. Alan, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, guys. In regards to Shooter's comment about the live streaming, love that idea.
Okay.
And he totally agreed with him on the increase of your popularity in the show. And in case no one said it today, even Mr. UK, you guys really do a great job.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Alan from Birdseye.
Alan's a, yeah, frequent caller, too. We, yep, appreciate that, Alan.
Hey, what's going on in Birdseye tonight?
Well, I couldn't really tell you much because I just pulled in at the house and was getting parked whenever I got on here. So,
all right.
I haven't been told by the boss yet what's happened.
So, Alan, let me ask you a question. I, yeah, hope this is not getting too personal, but is there a good warm dinner waiting on you when you walk in, or what's the status of that?
I did hear that there is a fresh batch of taco soup made.
Oh!
That sounds pretty good.
Dude, I'm telling you, that is right in our wheelhouse.
We'll see
studio.
You here in about 40 minutes. Yeah. It may take a little longer to get to
Birdseye. I love taco anything.
Depends on fashion.
Well, yeah, it does take a touch more than 40 minutes, but, hey, I tell you what, I'll keep it good and warm for you, and I'll even have you a cold brew to go with.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Bingo. We're in. We are in.
Okay. Now, my question is, and this would be in regards, of course, to the great kids at Bloomington.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deron Davis.
Uh-huh.
I do not recall seeing him ever come out to play in the Michigan game.
That's correct.
That is right. He did not play.
Now.
Yeah.
He did warm up, so.
Do you know what – because I've looked and – and, you know, I mean, I'm on all kinds of different things for the Hoosiers and you know, news feeds and stuff, and I've seen nothing about it. Do you know what was going on? I do recall them talking about him having some soreness in his other knee.
I heard that's yeah.
The game before, but I just wondered if maybe you had any insight for me on that, because like someone said there a while ago, without him and Fennessy on the floor throughout, especially this next four games.
Yeah, the gauntlet.
We've got a long road to hoe.
Yeah, so Davis has been fighting, you're right on, nagging knee injuries. And, man, I just don't know with him. His whole career up there, he's been hurt.
Most recently, Alan, what happened most recently, from what I understand, again, this is Evan on the Kentucky side, but apparently right. He got rolled up on the backside of his leg. I don't know if that was in practice or in a game. And then they ran him.
I think it was an Illinois game that happened.
Illinois game, yes. But they ran him through they ran him through pregame warmups, and they decided to make it a no-go against Michigan.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Let me ask one more quick thing, and I'll hang up and get out of here. As far as Fennessy, any new updates on him making it back this week?
I do have an update, and unfortunately he is not playing tomorrow night. So he is still out. He has not practiced. He's not been cleared, and which makes me put into question Monday against Nebraska at home. So I think we're probably not going to see him until next weekend, and I know it's crazy, but I think that's where we're at with Mr. Fennessy.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean – I know that Nebraska will be a tough one as well, but I'm going to be a whole lot more worried about not having him at Maryland tomorrow.
100% agree. 100% agree.
Yep.
Alan, okay, thank you so much. Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks a lot. Good show.
Enjoy the suit. See you, man.
I will. All right. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Great call. So we're getting a lot of requests for Facebook Live. So tell you what, folks, our phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet us.
At Red Blue Hoops. Any Twitter action yet?
Oh, we hadn't.
Had the
my
one.
Cousin, but
we'll go back to the phone lines now. We have a regular caller, Geraldine the Cat,
all right,
is back with Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead, Geraldine.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Awesome.
Awesome. Good evening, Geraldine.
Good evening to you all. Looks like winter weather's coming this away. Finally hit. Kind of cold today, but beautiful day down here in South Central Kentucky. How's it been up there?
I tell you what, it was 60 degrees on Tuesday. The front came through. Yesterday was a beautiful sunny day, 31 degrees, northwest wind, 15 to 20. It was a beautiful day for duck hunting.
I'm not surprised.
Sound like Jeff Lyons.
We have all those weather stats.
No
kidding. We've got a little snow. We got a little snow rain mix moving in this weekend. We're going to have 3 to 5 inches Friday night, but changing to rain on Saturday as temperatures climb with a southerly breeze.
All right. Well, you know what, Herb? If you ever want to give up the sports talk, you can always go into meteorology.
Absolutely. That was impressive.
So, yes, ma'am.
Got it down. I want to put in a vote for Facebook Live, and,
okay,
and
that
having
is three.
Having met you guys, I would suggest that we make Walker the face of Facebook Live.
Everybody friend me at Walker Beck.
That's right. Just put the camera on him and let you guys talk all you want, but he can be the face.
He is Mr. Castle, isn't he?
Yeah, Mr. Castle himself.
I mean, come on.
That's right. I mean, yeah, why wouldn't you put Mr. Castle up as
Facebook
Live,
man? That's a good point.
Man?
I'm all right with that.
I do think Facebook Live is a great option. But as you know, I am probably the most ignorant caller that you have.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Probably the most intelligent.
Yeah, I am. I'm highly ignorant when it comes to the science and art of basketball. But I am a dedicated listener to the show. And fortunately, I had some intel from Rallycat last night that there was a lot of basketball being played last night in the universe. And my question is, because this does have implications for when I turn into a fan in March, how's the rest of the SEC going to look this season?
There you go. Ooh, we were talking about that just a few minutes ago.
Well, Geraldine, thanks for the call. And the SEC right now, coming into the season, the preseason markings were expecting the SEC to be a deep and very challenging conference. And then some of the teams had a less than stellar non-conference performance. But now, all of a sudden, since conference play has started, some of those teams that struggled out of conference have stepped up and won some really big games. As an example, South Carolina had a losing record coming into conference play. They went on the road and beat a tough Florida team. They returned home and faced Mississippi State, which was ranked in the top 20 at the time, and beat Mississippi State. So it's starting to look like the SEC is going to end up being a fairly deep and highly competitive conference. In addition to that, last night Ole Miss rolled Auburn pretty handily. So, Geraldine, the SEC is going to be a tough conference for Kentucky. And with us already having a road loss in conference, each game is more magnified now going forward. So I do appreciate that call.
So, real quick with
sir.
A lot of my UK brethren that I've talked to have said that they are expecting 7, 8, 9 losses on the year. What do you think? I mean, that gets me at lunch, but I'm just curious on your feedback.
So we're 3 now.
I will say 4 or 5.
Total?
SEC losses?
Oh, SEC losses.
I'm sorry. Total losses.
So that would be like
7 or 8.
Yeah, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
But I think we beat Kansas, though.
Here's an interesting dynamic for you. So we lost the Seton Hall game on a neutral floor to some crazy shooting, and we lost by 1.
Correct.
We lost at Alabama to some crazy shooting. Again, we had some issues on our side of the ball too, but we lost that game by 2. So we've lost 3 games, but 2 of them have been by a total of 3 points. So let's say we win those 2 games. Does it make our team any different? No. We're the same squad, but all of a sudden we've only had 1 loss, and we're probably overrated. You know what I'm
right,
saying? We're exactly the same.
Right.
We really are.
Right.
So I've trained myself to take it game by game, especially with these young Calipari teams, these young guards, and Hagans has become such a really good player the last 4 games. I don't know. It's hard to say because the SEC's looking a little different than everybody expected. You know, Auburn losing so badly last night. I mean, Georgia got smoked by
Tennessee.
I mean, Tennessee's going to be really tough.
Coach Crean said that Georgia played with a lot of grit, too, and they had a lot of deflections. Just didn't lead to points, though.
Oh, well. Tough.
That's Tom Crean.
Hey, question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
That South Carolina game. Florida. Florida, maybe?
That was the weekend. Yep.
Was that the one, the heave at the end of the game where, what's his name, catches it and dunks it? Is that how that game ended? Did I miss that?
Yeah, Chris Silva. It was a long inbounds pass.
Did you see the play? Did he push off? That's why I was getting
that. He was wide open.
I don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think
nobody was around him for 30 feet.
Oh, I thought he kind of bumped a guy, and then he caught it and dunked it. But I have to fact check that.
Well,
interesting.
Anyway. So back
the
to
conference is going to be strong.
It is. It is. And thanks again, Geraldine, for that call. So we came back after the Alabama loss. We hosted Texas A&M in Rupp Arena on Tuesday night, Chad. I mentioned, you know, that was the night of the Interstate 69 bridge hearings. I mentioned Kentucky got off to a terrible start. The bench played well. Keldon Johnson. So Keldon Johnson against Alabama and against Texas A&M had long stretches of the game where he didn't take a shot. So the fans have been concerned about that because
sure.
He is by far one of our best players. He's projected to be a top 10 draft pick. I got to thinking about that today. He's starting to remind me a lot of Kevin Knox at this time of last season, where Knox would be kind of ho-hum one game and then another game just like an All-American. So, again, I think it's just a young guy kind of finding his way. You agree with that or disagree?
I do, 100%. And talking about him, too, last week I thought you brought the stat in that his prior 3 games, 21 a game, 52%
yeah,
on the field.
Off the charts.
So
maybe I jinxed him.
Well, freshman, right?
Yeah, that's
young
right, freshman.
Player. Romeo does a little bit of that, too, so I get it. I mean, it happens.
But then I mentioned just a few minutes ago about Ashton Hagans. I mean, he has become an absolute stud for Kentucky. And against Texas A&M, check this stat line out. You'll love it. In 30 minutes of action, Hagans had 18 points, 5 assists, only 1 turnover, and 5 steals.
Yeah, he's a ball hawk.
Good gracious, it's amazing. But let me ask you a question. Kentucky's showing some what I would call poor post-entry passing, not good post-entry passing. And this is something that you would think is a basic fundamental, but, man, at times we struggle with just a basic post-entry pass. That's got to drive coaches insane.
I see it all the time. Not getting to the 45 and throwing it like at a 60-degree angle to where it goes out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
That one just drives me insane.
Exactly. Bingo.
You know, so I get it.
So I mentioned, okay, at Alabama we shot 47% in the paint. Against A&M we shot 74% in the paint, which is more typical Kentucky. So that was good to see. But back to the hot shooting against Kentucky. A&M is the worst three-point shooting team in the conference. They shot 47% from threes against Kentucky. They had kids that don't even hit threes that were knocking down threes.
Well, I think it's Matt Jones, and I think you talk about it too, but the game after Kentucky effect, like the percentages of teams that lose games is just crazy.
Someone went deep into it. I can't remember the guy's name. It's actually a friend of ours in Lexington. Is starting to track, if you like to gamble, line.
Exactly.
Always bet the team that just played Kentucky, bet the other team's line. Does that make sense? So as an example.
They're either going to cover the line or
Alabama,
win the game.
Alabama played LSU after Kentucky.
Right.
Bet LSU. Bet the team that didn't just play Kentucky.
You know what, though? I bet at your higher-level programs, that's pretty consistent.
A lot of it, yeah, it's probably pretty consistent.
Because they get up for those games, man.
Another player that's been kind of up and down, kind of disappearing act is P.J. Washington. I mean, he was kind of non-existent for a long period of time. But then when the game, you know, A&M, I don't know if you realize this, they cut it to two late.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
no,
like,
I did not know
that. Score, Walker?
664 with six and a half to go.
Yeah, we were at the U of E game, and Walker shows it to me. I was like, what in the world's going on? And then all of a sudden, P.J., apparently, stepped up and played fantastic those last 6 minutes. But the kid that you mentioned earlier this year, Chad, Jamal Baker, the kid that didn't play at all last year due to a knee injury from California, shooting guard, he is now getting more and more minutes, and he has become more valuable on the defensive end of the court than we thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see him get in the rotation. But I love this stat from the A&M game. In transition, Kentucky scored 26 points. They were 95.5% adjusted field goal percentage in transition. That's pretty strong.
So they were getting a good look.
Yeah, they were doing really well. We're going back to the phone lines. We've got one, again, a regular caller.
Oh.
Wayne, welcome back to Rebel Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show. And I know Chad's doing some big things. I didn't get to hear the first part of it. But long story short, Evan, since you are, you did the prediction on how many losses that possibly Kentucky would have. What is your thoughts on IU now, since IU has had all these, you know, rash of injuries? What's your thought on how many losses we'll probably have?
Good question.
Oh, for
you,
me?
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah.
And you guys have had three losses so far.
12-3, yep.
And the thing I was paying attention to, your all's goofy conference schedule, which I don't really like that much, the two games before Christmas stuff,
mm-hmm.
You guys played what, two teams?
Penn State on the road, Northwestern at home.
Okay, and you won those games tight, right?
Correct.
Right. So the injuries are definitely going to be a factor, but I will say this. I try to watch as much IU basketball as I can to prepare for the show, and I brought up last week, Wayne, you didn't hear it because you were at the game, but I was asking Chad if he thought we would start seeing more two-man basketball with Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan, and guess what happened against Michigan in the second half? That's exactly what we saw. Yep. I think that if you guys take those two players and isolate them, playing two-man action, put the Justin Smith on the opposite baseline, weak side, and let those guys play two-man ball, you guys are going to win quite a few Big Ten games. The one thing that could hurt you in close games, obviously, is your free throw shooting is a little weak. But
yeah.
So I'm going to predict you guys will have a total of five Big Ten losses. That would give you a regular season record of what? Would that be seven losses?
That's right. They give us seven losses overall.
That'd be Arkansas and Duke. And
correct.
Plus,
so 24 and seven.
I'll say you'll finish with seven losses at the end of the year.
I'd be good with that.
Yeah.
I would be totally good with that. Compared with all the injuries had, I mean, I'm really figuring if we don't get Rob Finney and back, then anytime soon, I'm saying we're probably going to have about eight, maybe nine.
I can see that. Absolutely.
I really do believe this. The Romeo Juwan Morgan two man thing is very NBA like, and when they ran it against Michigan, it was highly effective.
They're very efficient.
Because
both those players can do
Morgan a lot
of different
things. Pick and pop the shot.
He can.
Very effectively. And now Romeo is getting more and more comfortable with each game. So I think that's going to be a dynamic opportunity offensively for you guys. Now, both players are struggling with their fouls.
I hope you're absolutely correct. I mean, I've seen a lot of games. And, of course, Chad and I have talked numerous times. I really feel like if the next 5-6 games, is really the key to our season about how we'll have an outcome. I think we can get strong late if we get some people healthy. And, you know, the next five games, I mean, we've got, I think, five out of the next seven on the road.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Awesome.
So anyway, hey, great show, guys. Sorry I missed you last week. But I was enjoying the game, and I'm getting ready to head out of the country here. So good show, guys. And, Chad, keep up the good work, you and Evan, and we'll talk at you soon.
Wayno, have a good vacation, brother.
Yeah. Safe travels, Wayne. Thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. Tell you what.
All right, see you.
See ya.
We're going to go to our last break of the night, folks. Come back for more Red Blue Hoops action on WNIN. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com. Support for Red Blue Hoops also comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Everything we do for you.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3, live streaming WNIN.org. You can give us a call. Phone lines are wide open at 812-426-7400 or tweet us.
At Red Blue Hoops.
I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats. Joining me again tonight, Chad Payton, voice of the Hoosiers. Intern, Walker Beck.
Yo, yo, yo.
Mr. Castle.
We mentioned in a couple of stories earlier in tonight's show that Walker and I attended the U of V Loyola game. At the Ford Center.
My wife and I were there, too.
And you and your wife were there.
We were.
Great atmosphere.
Really nice crowd. Almost 5,100 people in the seats.
Yes.
I want to give the Aces basketball program and Coach McCarty a hat tip.
Absolutely.
To the atmosphere. The style of play was very enjoyable to watch. I think, if my memory serves me correct, the Aces were a six-point underdog.
They sure were.
Mm-hmm. And ended up winning by 19. Loyola that particular night had to be one of the worst looking recent Final Four teams to ever play basketball.
No question.
It was really strange. Score. But credit to the Aces for taking them out of their game.
They played really hard. Sister Jean couldn't even save them on Tuesday night.
But it was fun. I mean, it was
great
fun.
Great atmosphere.
It was great atmosphere. Now, we'll try to get Walter McCarty on the show sometime this season.
Again, I love it.
Walter McCarty, for our listeners, you should know, but he's an Evansville native. He went and played basketball for the greatest program in the country, the Kentucky Wildcats.
It's debatable.
And won a national title on one of the best college teams ever assembled, the 96 national championship team. But if and when Walter joins us on the show, I am going to pick on him a little bit about something that we observed against Loyola.
Whew.
If you sit back and watch the Aces offense, I hope the opposing coaches aren't listening. This could be a free scouting report. But, Chad, no exaggeration, 90% of their offense is on the right side of the court.
Very true. I agree.
4-1.
My high school coach, Don Parsons, one of the all-time winningest coaches in Kentucky history, if we did that, it was trouble. Because he ran the program like Bobby Knight, so we had to pay the dues, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
But, man, the other night, right side the whole time.
It was a lot of action over there. You're right.
100%. Right in front of UV's bench second half. It was like they were camped there, so –
maybe they were just taking what the defense was giving them, I guess.
I think Walter should have you and me back to practice. We can help him with that.
Walter, if you're out there, free advice. We can do it, buddy.
Yeah.
But I think for Saturday, though, only 450 tickets.
Yeah, this is big news, folks. They were on social media today quite a bit. They had a little special video announcement by Coach McCarty. They were about 400 tickets shy of having to pull that curtain back for the upper deck in the Ford Center.
That's awesome.
That'd be fantastic.
I'm going to be there. I'm taking my dad to the game.
1 o'clock Saturday.
It's 1 o'clock against the Indiana State Sycamores, yep. Home of Larry Bird, the greatest player from Indiana that didn't play basketball for Indiana, which I find.
He attempted to, I guess. But
he went there and left quickly.
He did.
He was smart. He saw the writing on the wall with old Bobby. But anyway, go Aces, baby.
No doubt.
So tell you what, Chad, I got a question for you. No,
let me make a point.
Before I do that, you make a point. Go ahead.
So I just want to remind all the Hoosier fans. So we are 12-3 right now, and the two losses that we have, well, all three losses are on the road. But two of the losses are to number one in the country right now, Duke. Number two in the country, Michigan. And then Arkansas on a tip-in. We missed a tip-in at the buzzer to win that game. So
good point.
As far as strength of schedule and top 50 wins and all that kind of thing, we're in a good spot. If we could get Maryland tomorrow night, that would be a huge win for the program. And I've made this point a couple times with Archie. It's time for Archie to win a couple of games that he shouldn't. And tomorrow night, we're not the favorite. Let's go steal one on the road.
Great point, Chad. And that reminds me about our KenPom stats.
Yep.
So Indiana's currently ranked 28th in KenPom.
Yep.
Offensively, they're ranked 38th. Defensively, 34th. Kentucky's ranked 11th in KenPom, which is actually a little surprising to me. But they're off.
Kentucky is always high on KenPom. I don't understand it.
They're ranked 14th offensively and 28th defensively. But here's the part that pains my heart. Your strength of schedule is 79. Kentucky's 105th.
They've still played two more conference games than we have.
I know.
That's true. That helps.
But it's embarrassing. I don't like that.
Okay, we still play Kansas.
I know Walker gets mad at me for saying this.
Yeah, because it's totally false.
Right now we're ranked 105th. And
okay,
Indiana,
but we scheduled a later non-conference game. And we had Tennessee twice, Auburn twice, Mississippi State twice.
It's okay, Mr. Castle.
And Florida twice.
Wound up.
Yeah.
Couple of quick stories out of Lexington. Well, one out of Lexington, one out of about a former Kentucky player now in the NBA. I don't know if any of our listeners saw this last night, but former Kentucky player Nerlens Noel went up to block a shot, got hit with an elbow, was knocked unconscious midair, and then fell to the floor unassisted.
Hit
his head again. Unconscious for a long period of time, removed from the arena on a stretcher, and it looked bad. But thankfully, he's been released from the hospital, and nothing.
He'll be playing before Robert Finney will.
His injury is a concussion, but man, that was a scary.
It's not good.
Fall, but this is off topic. It's a football story, but it's fascinating to me, Chad. We're talking offline, but Kentucky football's offensive coordinator Eddie Grand, who I've given a lot of grief, as you know.
I've heard it all on Twitter, too,
but
all year.
He was offered by Kirby Smart of the Georgia Bulldogs football program the offensive coordinator position for Georgia. That's just part of the story. He turned it down.
That's unbelievable.
And coming back to Kentucky. What is happening? Kentucky football. What?
That's two big stories, though, like you said, I mean, in itself. One, that he was offered it.
Yeah, and
then
turned
two,
it
they
down.
Turned it down.
And they
unbelievable.
Offered, and they offered him seven figures as a coordinator. That's incredible. Okay, question for you, Chad.
Uh-oh.
As this season is maturing, and Romeo, again, he's putting up big numbers, averaging 18-plus a game. He's projected to be a top 10 draft pick in most of the NBA boards. Some are a little bit lower than that.
Sure.
But let's just call it an average of 8 to 10.
Sure.
Again, playing really well, smooth, in control. But I find it interesting. I think your fan base is really struggling with the whole one-and-done thing. Even though you guys had Eric Gordon before one-and-done was a thing.
Correct.
And he's been very successful, long NBA career.
Correct.
But as I traverse around the community and run into your fan base, It baffles me how many people say, oh, man, I really hope Romeo comes back. I'm like, no, you don't, because that means he was a failure as a kid that's projected in top 10 in the draft. And
yep.
It's not reality. He's not coming back to Indiana.
Yep.
Well, what do you think? Is it just the fact you guys haven't had a one and done in a long time? It's just hard to swallow? Or what's happening there?
Well, I think you have – obviously some people are just hopeful that you get a player, because yeah. We haven't had many of those players, so you just don't quite understand it. With that being said, I mean, me as a – I follow the NBA stuff all the time too, and I've seen him anywhere from 6 to 15 to 18, just depending on what you've seen.
Sure.
So my thing is he's probably going to be gone, obviously.
Right.
He'll go to the combine at least.
Correct. But the IU fans that follow it close too are like, he's shooting 20% from three-point line. And you can't play in the NBA anymore if you can't shoot. I mean, that's the way it's always been, but really now, spacing the floor and how mm-hmm. this works.
Right.
So folks are thinking that he could fall out of the lottery, and if he would he come back? And my thing is, he's too much of a well-rounded player. He's going to stay in that lottery, and he's going
to
be gone.
Let me give you a counterpoint to that shooting thing. Guess who's on the NBA roster right now? Isaiah Briscoe from Kentucky, who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Right.
So I don't know. It's interesting. Just I just find it, as I talk to IU fans, that whole Romeo discussion comes up a lot.
I think it's wishful thinking. You get, I've heard so many fans say, oh, he's buddies with Trace Jackson and Keon Brooks, and they all want to play together. You know how that is. That's
right.
Pie in the sky.
Right.
When the agents call you and say, hey, you're going to be the fifth pick, or you're going. And they should go.
They should. It's financially the smartest play to make for yourself.
I talked to a buddy at work, David Montgomery. I'll give him a shout out right now. But he always reminds me of Grayson Allen. And if you remember, Grayson Allen in the 2015
yes.
National Championship game played out of his mind, and his stock was way up there as a freshman.
That's correct.
Now, he came back as a sophomore. Stock's still pretty high, but he stayed all the way through his senior year, and he ended up going like 30th in the draft.
When
he
could have
won the lottery, I think, after his freshman year.
How about Alex Poitras from Kentucky?
Yeah.
Freshman year, projected upper first round, comes back, stays a full career, gets his degree, and he's now on a roster.
Atlanta Hawks,
but his draft position – and look how much money he lost because of that. A huge amount of money.
No question.
So it's an interesting dynamic. And like Walker mentioned a minute ago, at least the players now have at their disposal the opportunity to go to the NBA Combine, and it doesn't cost them their college eligibility if they want to come back based on the information they get. So that's better for everybody.
That's right.
In the long run. So,
hey, Walker, check something out. My wife just texted me. She says, tell Walker that Kansas is horrible.
Wow.
Are they playing TCU right now?
They played them last night, 1-9.
Okay.
Yeah. They lost their starting center.
Azubuki, and they took up a redshirt, a guy from Kansas City, and he actually played Ochai.
Yeah, he played pretty well last night. They pulled a redshirt off of him.
Ochai.
For Kansas?
Yeah.
Agbaji. No kidding.
He looked really athletic. But
yeah, skinny kid, but athletic.
I think they'll lose some now. It'd be interesting. But
we host them January 26th in Rupp Arena.
That's right.
Do you think they win the Big 12 this year, regular season?
Okay, here's my thought on this. So you know how you guys say we can't trust Virginia in the tournament?
Right.
Never.
I'm not going to pick against Kansas in the Big 12. I say it every year. They're not going to win it, and I think they've won it how many years in a row?
12. 13.
13?
It's up there.
13, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's going to be tough this year with Texas Tech.
Texas Tech's pretty good. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. It'd be interesting. That'd be a good win for you guys playing.
Yes,
in.
It will.
It will.
I don't know what Kansas currently sits in KenPom. Can you look it up real quick?
Yeah, they are 7th.
Really? That would be a great win for us at home.
I'm pretty sure Kansas came to Rupp a couple of years ago and beat you guys.
They did.
Josh Jackson, I think, played for them. And
yeah, we were there.
Mm-hmm. We were.
Speaking of Rupp Arena, Chad, you know, we've been kind of dancing around this, but we got to get you up there.
Yeah, you got to try the ice cream.
I've been hearing that's pretty good.
Vanilla, chocolate, or swirl?
Swirl.
I may have to take you up on that. I'm still debating.
Oh, no. It's an awesome opportunity.
I've been told I look good in blue, but that's not
blue.
UK
is a beautiful
blue.
Color. Royal Kentucky blue. Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. So with all these upsets that have been occurring, Big Ten, SEC. So
Big 12.
Big 12 even. Outside the three teams, who can win the title, you think? The Duke, Michigan, Tennessee, or Virginia.
Who could win the title?
As of right now, you get Michigan State, maybe.
Gonzaga. Man. I'm going to keep them on there. I got six people here. Duke, Michigan, Tennessee, Virginia, Michigan State, and Gonzaga right now. And I know Virginia, we can't trust them. But
they lost a 16
for some reason, as much heat as Bennett took last year for that loss, I could see him hoisting the trophy this year.
Good.
And they're going to ask him, they're going to say, hey, tell me about your long road or your road to this victory. He's like, well, you know, we were a one seed last year and we lost to a 16, and he could speak a ton about it. But, you know, I have noticed they're scoring more points. You guys noticed that?
A little bit.
No, I haven't watched them. I refuse to watch Virginia.
A little bit.
It is kind of ugly.
It is.
I don't know. I don't have a list right now of potential national champions.
Oh, and Indiana, too. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot. I'm going to throw them in there.
I truly don't have a list right now. I mean,
I mean, outside the Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee.
So I saw a stat this morning. Zion Williamson's the first player for Duke since 1962 to score 30 points, have 10 rebounds, and five assists in the game. Yeah.
I think he was 13 of 16 from the field.
He's getting better, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he needs to work on maybe hitting a couple more shots, I guess. But he's a monster. Though.
But Barrett's had, what, six or seven games over 20 points for Duke?
I know.
And I will point out that Reddish has not played well for Duke. That's an interesting one to watch Cam in Reddish, the lottery. Yeah, because yeah, it's tough to have that three man.
Well, once again, he's a freshman.
Two's a party, three's a crowd.
Yeah,
how it works.
Yep.
Hey, I got a quick stat for you.
Roger.
Crazy
that.
Stat. If I read this right, Walker, you might have to fact check it.
Uh oh.
Klay Thompson last night.
Oh, only four dribbles.
Two
like
nights ago.
43 points.
Yes, 43 points.
That's
on
correct.
Four dribbles.
It's amazing. For all the kids out there, you don't have to dribble the air out of the ball to be a good basketball player. I wish the Harrison twins had listened to that in 2015. Excuse me, I'm still bitter on that loss to Wisconsin. But I saw the stat, though.
I was going
to
tell you that. Yeah, how about that?
Jeff Sagarin put out his top 10 power-ranked teams.
Since 2005, I think is what it was.
The 2015 Kentucky team was number one. But I was shocked to see the 2012 Kentucky team.
Wasn't on the list.
Wasn't on the list.
That surprised me,
but
too.
But there were two teams from 2015 on that list, Kentucky and Wisconsin. Wisconsin clipped us in the Final Four, so that was a loaded year, obviously. But Duke is – this year's team's on there, right?
Yeah, I think they're third or fourth, I believe, so far.
So upcoming games for the Kentucky Wildcats, for our listeners, this Saturday, Kentucky hosts the Vanderbilt Commodores. It's a 7:30 tip. It's televised on the SEC Network. Vanderbilt lost their top freshman, Darius Garland. So they're struggling a little bit. And then we go back on the road next Tuesday night at Georgia. And that's a 6 o'clock tip next Tuesday at Georgia. The Dogs and the Calipari.
Oh, TC, baby.
Tom Crean and the John Calipari era starts again.
I bet we start slow against Vandy again.
You think we start slow against Vandy?
8:30 there. Woo.
Tell you what I would do if I'm Cal. He won't do this, but I would start a completely different starting lineup at home.
Brad? You think Brad?
No, he's redshirted, thank goodness.
It's his favorite player.
Hey, you have to admit, though, since Quade Green and Brad.
How about that? Teams kind of played better.
Yeah. Who are your upcoming games, Chad?
Yeah, so we play at Maryland tomorrow night. I alluded
Friday
to that
night.
Earlier. Yeah, tomorrow
night. That is so weird.
I know, Fox Sports 1.
I do not like the Big Ten schedule, Chad.
Well, think about this. Friday night at Maryland, come back Monday. At Nebraska at home.
That's
it's
weird.
Pretty quick turnaround.
That's
and weird.
Weird
games, you know. So
well, Kentucky's rest of the season, Saturday, Tuesday, rest of the
every
year for
time.
Kentucky.
Yep. Usually we have that one Wednesday night game.
So who's after? So you got Maryland, then Nebraska at home.
Yeah, so my prediction is 2-0, and we have to get it done to compete in the Big Ten. And like I said earlier, Archie's got to win a couple of these games where we're not favored. He's got to coach one. I mean, he's a good coach, great coach, but he's got to win one where we're not favored. It's a tough atmosphere on the road. With Maryland, they have two potential pros, and they have a good point guard. So, got to get it done. I got to make a special announcement, too, when we get a chance. Right
now's
now.
Now's the time.
Indiana Hoosier fans, I have to tell you, I talked to an IU legend today, Don Fisher, the voice of IU for the last 46 years, will be on the show next week. More details to come, but he's going to be on for about 20 minutes.
Got
to tune in.
No, 12 minutes. We're cutting him to 12 this time.
You got to tune in. Don Fisher.
Tell you what. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's show. Make sure you get out this Saturday. Don't worry about the weather.
Aces,
and support the Aces against the Indiana State Sycamores. I'm Evan Beck, voice of the Kentucky Wildcats. Chad Payton, Walker Beck, we're out.
Adios.
Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Everything we do for you. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. Maria Thomas is the technical director. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the WNIN staff or board of directors, or for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.